Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids. Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you She Rose Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is She Rose Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
Yeah.
singular voice and power of Sinead O'Connor lives on. She would have been 59 this week on Monday, December 8th. No Man's Woman on Shiro's Radio and the trailblazing innovator Imogen Heap with First Train Home. Her birthday is this coming Tuesday, December 9th. Welcome to the Shiro's Radio Hour, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. So great to see you as always, as together we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. And before we get into what's coming up, now that we're in the season of giving, I want to remind you about the Shiro's fundraising campaign in progress. Text Shiro's to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through our nonprofit AIR. You can visit shirosradio.com, check out the Shiro's shop, donate to us, and get a thank you gift of a Shiro's tote bag. Thank you for supporting independent femme and queer-produced radio and conversations like the one that you'll hear later this hour with Madison Cunningham, who returns to celebrate the recent release of her third album, Ace. It's coming up in the second part of the show. Hope that you can stick with us for that. And right now, getting into something from recent Shiro's guest, Anastasia, from her full-length debut, Tether. This is Be Kind.
There's a pile of CDs in the corner over there, sharing the ground with a tree that's the saving grace for the surrounding poison air. The longer that I stare at this ghetto diamond, I find it rare and different, this pile of memories. They're always lying there. That I met in a growing phase, who holds on to my growing pains. And I deserve to rest in a California king bed, my arms outstretched and my dreams bleeding from my head into the sheets instead.
Be careless. I am not in love, but I'm open to persuasion, east or west, where's the best for romancing with a friend? I can smile, but with a lover I could hold my head back. I can really dance. I can really move. Now if I can feel the sun in my eyes and the rain on my face, why can't I? I may need my home, but I should just stick to those that I have got. With friends I still feel so insecure. Little darling, I believe you can help me a lot. Just take my hand and leave me where you will. No conversation, no way goodnight. Once more with the feeling, give me love, give me love, give me love. Love.
Happy 75th birthday to Joan Armatrading. Her birthday is Tuesday, December 9th, and that one goes back to 1976 and her self-titled third album, Love and Affection, her first top 10 hit in the UK. And we also heard a gorgeous track from Anastasia, Be Kind, off her stunning full-length debut, Tether, one of my favorites of the year. If you missed Anastasia on SheRose, please do check out that interview on the SheRose podcast, available everywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Carmel Holt. And don't go anywhere, because this week we welcome back Madison Cunningham to the SheRose Spotlight as we celebrate the recent release of her incredible third album, Ace. It's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
We'll get you right back to more from Shiro's Radio here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons. We are a proud member of AMPRS, the Association of Minnesota Public Educational Radio Stations. AMPRS helps to support 17 independent community radio stations like us throughout Minnesota. And AMPRS is not affiliated with, nor does it receive funding from Minnesota Public Radio or Minnesota's public TV stations. Many of the AMPRS stations were receiving and have now lost federal funding. The $3.5 million loss accounted for as much as half of some of the station's operating revenue. Despite these cuts, community radio is not defeated, just defunded. But we do need your help. In addition to supporting KAXE, we ask, if you are able, consider donating to AMPRS' statewide effort to keep community radio on the dial. Everyone is deserving of it all across the state. Can donate at AMPRS.org. Coming up Monday, the Minnesota Forestry Association, in partnership with the DNR, is hosting a webinar from 4 to 5:30. You can learn about fire prevention and future reforestation efforts as they relate to this summer's storm in Bemidji. Register at minnesotaforestry.org/blowdown. Let's head back to more from Shiro's Radio here on KAXE.
You're listening to Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. It was 3 years ago that we first had Madison Cunningham on Shiro's. I was obsessed with her sophomore album, Revealer. And I remember at the time that I kept having all these conversations with musicians and music industry insiders who felt the same way. I introduced our 2022 interview by telling you that she was an artist's artist, a visionary, and an innovator. And that sophomore album went on to win a Grammy, and a song from it earned a nomination. For those unfamiliar with Madison's story, she's a self-taught guitar and songwriting prodigy who grew up in a self-described sheltered religious family in Southern California, was homeschooled, and only performed music in the church. Secular music didn't make it to her ears until her late teens, at which point her own songs came forward like a dam breaking, with no other reference points other than her own creativity to guide her in those formative years. Madison's sound is rooted in a uniquely pure and authentic place. Her 2019 debut album, Who Are You Now, was nominated for a Grammy, as was an expanded version of her 2020 EP, Wednesday. And in 2024, she and Andrew Bird teamed up as Cunningham Bird, releasing a front-to-back cover album of Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks' 1973 rare duo album, Buckingham Nicks. And this October, Madison released My Newest Obsession, her third full-length album, Ace. I'm so thrilled to welcome back Madison Cunningham as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Madison Cunningham, welcome back to Shiro's. I'm so happy to see you.
So good to see you too. This is the only face I wanted to see at
Yay.
This hour.
Aw, I feel the same way. I've been looking That's forward true. To this like all week. I think the last time I saw you was Newport.
Yeah, well, a year ago probably. Like, yeah. I think it was summer of 2024.
Four, right. Yeah. And we talked Joni Mitchell, and I got to see you perform Buckingham Nicks with Andrew Bird.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally the next month, or maybe even weeks after I saw you at Newport, if I'm getting this timeline right, you were writing the songs for Ace, the record that we're here to talk about.
Yes, exactly. I might have had two songs for that record. That festival was an interesting marker because I knew that after that time had passed, I was going to be knee deep in the pressures of trying to finish a record by October, was when we were planning on recording it. And I felt very blocked. That's what I remember about July of that year.
Yeah. So let's talk about what made you unblocked.
I was living in this two-bedroom apartment that my ex and I had lived in, and I was there alone at this point, and I just felt spiritually very like repressed in that place. And then I moved, and something about the space change, I think, allowed me to claim something that was my own. And I think the words really needed that. It was funny. It was almost like I finally was able to like have privacy, even though there was no one with me in the other place. It was like I was finally alone enough to say the things that felt too dangerous to say.
That makes so much sense. Is there a song on this record that started it all, even if you didn't know it at the time?
Yep. That January, I was stuck in a blizzard in Nashville. And I wrote my full name. That was the first one. And I actually really kind of wanted to scrap that song because I felt like it was too simple. And I always do that. Like the songs that I love the most in the end, I have a sort of weird relationship to it in the beginning. Or like I dismiss it because I'm like, that's not cool enough. And I think being earnest is never that cool. And you have to be on the lookout for not zooming past it because you want to be cool. And this whole record was very much about figuring out how to strip away any sort of ideas of brand words that I absolutely hate or what was expected and how to put emotions first. And yeah, that song I think led the way. I felt like the veil between myself and my persona of myself was very thin. And I was scared by that song and I figured that was a good thing.
I love it when you say my full name and the way you always speak your mind. When the needle finally finds the vein and all your little sayings become mine. Your brother only shares your family's shame, but he doesn't really know. Too many big words you could do without, and everything we dare not say out loud are written on our faces.
My full name from the new Madison Cunningham album, just titled Ace. Now, I've heard this referred to as your third. It's actually yes. Your fourth full-length record, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it because you scrapped that first record?
Yeah, I scrapped that first record. And I, you know, it was from such a different time in my life. And the more it was up, it felt more confusing to me. That record, Who Are You Now, felt like the real start of everything, where I felt like I had more possession over my artistry, more understanding. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like, even that record is hard for me to listen to. Not because I don't love it. It's just, it has everything to do with me and the age I was at. And obviously feeling like things could be better, but it's silly to try and kind of tamper with history. That's who I was at that time.
Well, they are such a document of your evolution over time, and especially these like super tender years of the last decade. I think you just turned 29?
I just turned 29. So hard to believe. I'm very aware of each month this time around because I'm like, okay, this is all sort of the ticking time bomb of a new decade, which honestly, bring it on. I can't wait. Everyone says when they turn 30, they wake up and they're like, I don't give a f-. That's what I would love to feel. The last 2 years have been a mosaic of like some of the most painful and confusing years of my life and also the most clarifying. And I'm so fascinated by how those two things are able to exist in the same place. I think grief is a deeply fascinating thing and how it can be pregnant with so many other things. And you would think that it would just be that one overwhelming, dominating emotion.
Yeah. And you had a grief moment on the last record too, when your grandmother died. That was kind of a centerpiece of that record. And now it feels like Ace is this grown-up version of dealing with grief.
Yeah, it definitely got deeper. I've been reading this book called Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zahner. There was a line that I think about a lot that she said, I feel like after I lost my mom, I started to view people in two categories, people who have experienced pain and people who are yet to. And yeah, every time I've like brushed shoulders with something that feels impossible, I just kind of have this feeling that I have to sink into it because there's going to be more. I felt that when I lost my grandmother. I knew it was like the tip of a very deep iceberg, which is maybe why the sadness on top of losing her was so great, because parts of it felt really impossible and unexplainably gorgeous and beautiful.
Yeah.
And I wonder if all moments of grief are able to contain both of those things. I believe they can, and I would imagine that some experiences of grief are a lot darker and harder to hold nuance in. And yeah, not to be completely sadistic or anything, but I do think that that's like what we're all in for. I don't know. I keep trying to find ways to like get used to it, enjoy it, or get used to the fact I won't get used to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes a whole lot of sense. And it's always so fascinating to explore the intersection of opening yourself up to that and creativity. Because there's a mythology around that too, right? Like, if you're happy, you can't make great art.
Yeah. I've worried about the idea of not being able to write in happiness for myself, because I think if you love art and that's like your drive, then I worry about self-destruction, like deliberate self-destruction.
Yeah.
And for me, I actually, this kind of is a nice segue into a piece of making this record that felt really conflicting and almost gross to me. Like there was a lot of people in my life, totally well-meaning. Some of them I really didn't know very well, people that were kind of working with me at the time, that they would kind of rub their hands together anytime, just imagining the record I was going to make, given what they learned about what was happening in my life. And I just felt like deeply misunderstood by that. It felt like it was like the sequencing was wrong, as if I had like destroyed my life to get a good record out of it. Felt so materialistic and up, honestly.
Yeah.
And then it made me very paralyzed for a long time around speaking about this record at all, because it just, I didn't want to be misunderstood in the efforts of communicating this record or writing it. I wanted it to feel like it was obviously from my perspective, but not in any way like a revenge record, or I didn't want it to punch down. Yeah, I think talking about heartbreak is very tricky, especially if you want to talk about it in new ways and in your own way, because that just means it hits really close to home. And I've had a really hard time this record cycle talking about this record. I've walked away from everything feeling like I've given too much or too little, you know?
Oh my God, that's so perfectly said. And like, that's the line that you walk, right? And it's like also so fascinating to me, because I'm on this side of it, like how to walk that line, how to create a space that is safe for the person that I'm talking to.
Yeah.
To allow them to be their most vulnerable selves without it being like
a pop piece.
Or, yeah. I did think about that today. If I'm being really honest, I did think about that, you know, coming to the table with you today. Like,
well, knowing you, I figured that you were thinking about that. We were talking about how we were both putting on many different shirts this morning to see which one felt right.
Yeah.
And by my fifth shirt, I was looking in the mirror and I was like, I wonder if she's stressed at all, or like if she's wondering like how to talk about this, because I am. And it was making me realize that you have the harder job in a lot of ways to know how to like not fall into these potholes, or to even be willing to, and to go, oh, okay, yep, we deflect, we move on. You know, I think that's a deep skill that I think my skin is a little too thin to be able to do. And to also like have, you know, the integrity and depth that journalism requires, you know? I think you're doing a fabulous job though, if you wanted my take.
Oh, well, thank you. It wasn't like a cue to make me feel better about me, but you know, I hope at this point of us having done this a few times, that I'm not here for me, I'm here for you.
Yeah, no, I actually love that we're talking about this, because this is probably the thing that most people don't address like in a live way. And I've thought about it more times than I can count this year, of just like, what is appropriate? What is mine to say? What is being too exploitive even to myself? You know, what an interesting, and I felt like the only way to answer that is by like falling into a few potholes myself. And that's kind of the way it always goes, is like, you don't fully know where the edge is until you let yourself kind of slide off of it. Anyway, I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. I mean, sorry I didn't say it at the outset. I was just too excited to see you. So how about this? Let's go to another song. And this probably would have been a question that I would have asked regardless of going where we just went. What song on this record felt like a pothole, but you did it anyway. Like, what was the song here that you had to overcome a fear of exposure?
I mean, I will say that, I mean, most of them have that flavor, but also some of them are a little more veiled in a more crafted way. I think the song Mummy is a very, I hate the word vulnerable at this point. I'm trying to find other ones. Splayed. Like, I felt very like, I don't know, like maybe it's a vulnerable thing to let anger be shown. I feel like my whole life I have tempered that, like to be respected as a woman. I've always felt like I don't ever want to be given the word like I want, you know, and as if like expressing healthy anger would garner that. But usually it does, specifically for women. So I've always just been like really out of touch with how to engage with those emotions, how to sit with them, how to express them. And there's a few lines in Mummy that definitely open that can of worms. And I remember feeling really relieved by those words. And so I followed that thread instead of threads of guilt and apology, because I felt like I'd been making a lot of apologies kind of my whole life. And I wanted to discover what it would feel like to not do that for once.
And what did it feel like?
It's funny. I was surprised at how confusing it still felt. Do you know what I mean? Like, I still felt a lot of shame and apology or need to apologize, even in going like, this is really what I mean. This is what I think. There's still so many layers. And I felt like I had to be really honest about that with myself the whole time and not just take this sort of like black and white stance of like, I'm on top of the world. I'm a woman. Hear me roar. This is, you know, like I felt, I don't know. It's important to live in the gray still, even if you are discovering truths about yourself and about the story you want to tell and the life you want to live. You have to be in dialogue with those things, because I think that's where relationship with yourself and with people thrive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you guide me to a part of this song?
The angriest part?
Whatever part. Was there something that came to your mind when you were just talking about lines in the song?
Yeah, there's a line at the very end of the song that says, sometimes I hate you so much, I want you back. And it's funny, like that is such a conflicting line. And when I wrote it, I knew exactly what I meant. It was almost like the wanting this person back was also like a selfish thing. Cause it was like, I don't want to have to explain this story anymore. I don't want to have to feel like I was wrong. Why don't we just like put all the pieces back together and just shut up about it? And obviously that's not, that's also living in a binary. It's living in a black and white space. And I think the most beautiful moments in my life have been when I have decided to make peace with gray. So yeah, that would probably be the last verse of that song I would dig into.
Some days my arm just won't lift the phone. Keep saying the words till they're part of my bones, like a backwards prayer or gentle command. Some days I hate you so much, I want you back. Can only hold what's mine and you what is yours. Is that the urgent meaning of divorce? To separate yourself or shatter into foam? Some days you fall away with little force. All in time and suddenly.
One of my favorite songs on the new album, Ace by Madison Cunningham, our guest today on Shiro's. It's a song called Mummy. It's her third studio album, and it is the follow-up to your Grammy-winning album, Revealer. You won a Grammy, girl.
Wild.
That is so wild. I wanted to make sure that I like said that directly to you. I'm like so proud. I'm so happy that that happened for you, especially considering what a labor that album was. And, you know, I remember we also talked about the follow-up record, like some of the pressures that were stalling you out about following up. You had gotten a Grammy nod before that, and it was your second album, and it was a sophomore album, and all the tropes about the sophomore slump and yada, yada. And I don't know if I'm wrong about this, but it kind of feels like this time around, that doesn't sound like any of those external pressures were part of the equation anymore. Is that, am I getting that right? Or
that is the kindest thing you could have said to me. Cause I've gotten a lot of questions about, do you feel like the need to try and win another thing? And honestly, after that crazy unexpected moment in my life, I felt liberated from maybe the romance or the longing around winning an award like that. Because first of all, I never thought that would happen to me. I really didn't. It kind of shattered what was possible, or my ideas of what was possible. And I feel liberated from ever needing to make music for that again. Not because I've won it, but because I've seen it. And I know what it really feels like. And all the things that were promised didn't happen. As a result of that award. I think that's really important to say. And I kind of, having gone to the Grammys a few times now, I've looked around and been like, I know that person. I know they're broke. I know that person. I know they're broke. I know I'm broke. And we're all nominated and this doesn't do shit. And I think that's a very sobering, the juxtaposition of how we actually live as people and then what the optics are of our lives. The gap is so big. And I want to make music because I'm proud of it. And this was the first record I really, really, really felt that way about. And to me, that's the award. That is the award. And that is the thing that I will live and die for. And I'm thankful to the Recording Academy for sure. And I don't need to be a part of that as long as I'm making music that I adore.
Madison, it's been so awesome to spend this time with you. I could keep talking to you for hours, but I have to let you go. Before we wrap up, we do a thing now called the Shiro's Magic Wand. Are you ready to make some magic?
Ready.
Okay. So you're holding the Shiro's Magic Wand, and with it, you can make, you have a wand there?
I have a wand. Check it.
Love it. Okay. So you have the wand, and with the first wave of the wand, you can change anything in the music industry for women, non-binary folks, queer folks, BIPOC folks, anyone who doesn't have an equal platform, say, space. What would you change? First wave of the wand.
Oh, this is so hard. I think I would just change that the best things would rise to the top, no matter what, and that the right voices would be heard. The people that deserve to have the microphone, that's what I want to be changed. I want them to have it fully.
May it be so. I love it. Thank you, Madison Cunningham, for being with us on Shiro's. How should we wrap up today? What song from Ace?
I think we should close with The Best of Us. This song has my favorite lines in it, and it feels like it's the final thing that I would want to say coming out of a pretty like dense and heavy record. It feels like there's like enough hope and questioning within it that I think doesn't suggest that the album is finished. I think it kind of allows it to remain alive.
Fog is crawling in. Light is getting dull. Feasting on our envy. Never getting full. Air is punching down. Wolves moving pairs. Got nothing to do with my fingers. Run them through your hair. The world is open, but not to us. Like a neon sign flickering, so your eyes adjust. Run the changes like dancers do, looking out at vacant faces that never see you.
Thanks once again to Madison Cunningham. Thank you for being with us on Shiro's.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Massive thanks once again to Madison Cunningham for being with us. Her third album, Ace, is available now on Verve Forecast. Catch Madison out on tour starting in January 2026. Visit madisoncunningham.com for tour dates. Next, we close the hour celebrating two more Shiro birthdays, Meg White of the White Stripes and Big Mama Thornton, when Shiro's Radio continues.
Rooms and planets, dying stars, tears flooding the engine of our family car.
You are tuned in to KAXE. I'm Malachi Coons. More from Shiro's Radio coming up right after this. We receive support from the Bush Foundation, proud to partner with the Good Relatives Collaborative to announce the 2025 Bush Prize Native Nations honorees, the Minneapolis Indian Center, Mokoche Agriculture Development, and Turtle Mountain Impact. More online at goodrelativescollaborative.org. Support also comes from the state of Minnesota. Thank you for hanging out with KAXE. We'll head back to more from Carmel Holt and Shiro's Radio.
It's Shiro's and I'm Carmel Holt wishing recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Meg White a very happy birthday. Hers is Wednesday, December 10th. Here's the White Stripes on Shiro's Radio.
This place.
What?
Ooh. This place is like a mansion.
It's like a mansion. Look at all this stuff.
Look, I see something over there. You don't want
use
it?
That.
You sure you don't want it, man? I can use it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it. It's just things that you don't want. I can use them. Meg can use them. We can do something with them. We'll make something out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Make some money out of them, at least. We'll be right back.
I saw some stuff in your yard. Are you going to give it to us?
Oh, Meg, don't be rude.
Or not.
They might need it. If you don't want it, we'll take it. If you don't want to give it to us, we keep walking by. Keep going, we're not tired, but got plenty of places to go. Lots of homes we ain't been to yet. On the west side, the southwest side, Middle East, rich house, dog house, outhouse, old folks house, house for unwed mothers, halfway homes, catacombs, twilight zones. Looking for techniques, turntables to gramophones. So take a last lick of your ice cream cone and lock up what you still want to own. But please be kind.
Your turn.
And don't rewind.
That's fine.
Oh, love your pretty little rags and bones. Yeah. Your pretty little rags and bones. A jump up, a jump up, a jump up. Come on and give it to me. Oh, your pretty little rags and bones. Come on, come on, come on, come on and give it to us. Yeah.
Big Mama Thornton, born December 11th, 1926, the song that was written for her by Lieber and Stoller and recorded by her in 1952. Also, Rag and Bone by the White Stripes to celebrate drummer and co-founder Meg White's birthday on Wednesday, December 10th. And that does it for this week's edition of She Rose Radio. Thanks as always for tuning in wherever you may be listening together. Let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast and to our new YouTube channel, She Rose Productions. She Rose is 100% independent, and that is made possible through the support of our public radio affiliates and now listeners like you through a partnership with the nonprofit AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio. We have our very first fundraising campaign now in progress. You can text She Rose to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through AIR or visit SheRoseRadio.com. Thank you for supporting our work. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
Green Cheese listeners know how important it is to support stations like KAXE KBXE.
Anyone who can, be sure to donate, because as all of us know, they listen to this, Green Cheese and all the other programming on the stations, we really, really love it and don't want anything to happen to it. So it's really important to give what you can.
One thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to everybody out there. Radio is important when it's unique and it's interesting and it's local. And given your current funding situation, everybody out there should be doing something about that, no matter how little it is. If everybody did something, it makes a tremendous difference. Think about Saturday nights with no green cheese. That's